I'm Chris Preston.
And I'm Brad Zimmerman.
And welcome to Street Check, the best podcast in the history of Cabot Wealth Network. As you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, today is a very special show. In honor of this weekend's Oscars, we are doing our first ever Streeties Awards. I think that's the name we're going with, where we are going to hand out awards for the best of all things market over the last year-ish. I think there was some debate about whether we were going to do 2023 or just the past year. So it's a bit of a moving target, but we'll at least try to come to some sort of consensus over the next however many minutes. Hopefully not 4 hours like the Oscars usually go. With us is Madison Robertson, who's going to be doing the presenting. Madison, thank you for doing this with us.
Good morning.
And Madison provided the backgrounds again for those watching on YouTube. We've got some fancy Oscars backgrounds, and Brad and I are both wearing ties, which is I'm surprised. Brad, you own the tie. You don't seem like a tie guy to me.
I was a broker for like a decade. I wore ties all the time. I mean, like, yeah, it's like riding a bicycle. Automatic tying it again. It's been years. I don't think I've worn one since like the last Cabot event in pandemic.
Oh yeah, the Cabot Wealth Summit online event. Yes, yeah,
a couple years ago.
I blocked those
out. How many ties do you own, Brad?
4 or 5. I don't know. Not a ton. I was never a tie guy. It was a formality more than anything.
Well, so here's how it's going to work. Just like a normal award show or the Oscars themselves, we have a bunch of categories. I think we have 11 categories that we're going to present. Madison is going to present the nominees, and then we will announce the winner. And then we'll get into, this is sort of a way to talk about, what's working in the market, what has worked in the market over the last year or so. And what might continue to work going forward, some stocks specifically, but also certain sectors, certain asset classes, certain, people in the industry that you want to keep an eye on. But Brad, anything to add before we get into the awards?
The Oscars are what Hollywood's, the movie's night to shine. This is the fastest moving stocks night to shine. I don't know.
Or morning to shine. depending on when you're.
Nobody likes an award show more than it. 9:30 a.m. Arizona time. That's the prime time to host an award show, is fresh-faced exactly. In the morning.
Right. But I mean, as far as, a lot of people might be watching this or listening to this at night. And again, I highly recommend watching this one.
Cocktail in your hand as Chris's tie is promoting.
Right. Yeah, I've got the, I forgotten I had this, this tie, this martini, green martini tie that I have on.
Pairs really nicely with a pink and purple plaid shirt.
I know. Chris. Yeah. I was trying to find the most ridiculous shirt and tie combo just to, lean into the satire of this all. But we're going to try and be serious as well. Okay, let's get going. Let's go with the first category.
All right, first category is the best value stock. Nominees. I'm doing nominees, right?
Yes.
Okay. General Electric, Broadcom, and Allison Transmission.
And the award goes to Broadcom.
The Streety.
Well, I said the award like the Oscars do. The Streety, since this is branding heavy, goes to Broadcom. Chip manufacturer specializing in mobile devices, and was up 99.6% in 2023. Very much a beneficiary of the semiconductor surge that we've experienced. GE had a really good showing as well. It was up over 95% last calendar year. Anything that's electric, I guess, right? Is that, I'll confess to not being a big GE guy.
I'm not either. Yeah.
But, their performance was really admirable. Allison Transmission holding was up 39.8%. And one of the criteria that we were using for identifying value stocks, rather than using specific PE ratios, we were essentially using anything that was in the realm of value as defined by the Vanguard Value Fund. That was our inclusion criteria. Ultimately, it was subjective, but I think, as will be the theme of the night, the semiconductor, AI, tech infrastructure play was really a dominant narrative.
Yeah, Allison Transmission has been, you know, as you mentioned, especially lately, it's been pretty red hot. You know, it's gapped up from 61 to 75 in just the last month. You know, 75 is definitely 52-week high. I mean, since the end of October, it's up from 50 to 75. So it's up, you know, 50% just since then. But Broadcom, I think, is the answer. You know, returns are even better. And I think the upside is probably higher just given the AI trend. I don't know. I think the awards are for past performance, but, you know, I think sprinkling in a little, you know, what these could do going forward can't hurt. You know, this is our awards show, so we make the rules.
And I will say Broadcom down just over 5% today after reporting earnings last night. It was a solid quarter that topped estimates, but the guidance, I think, was a little bit weak going forward. But that was more of a coincidence of timing than pre-planned on our part.
Right. And, you know, the stock has still more than doubled over the last year. That's, you know, for a dividend stock and a value stock, that's pretty good. That's why you buy value stocks, that kind of performance.
All right. I say we move on to our next category. Madison, what is up next?
Can you guys hear me okay? My AirPods.
Yeah.
Brad was right when he said that I'm only iHeart quality. Like, whose AirPods die at the Oscars? That's so embarrassing. Okay. The next Abradomy Award goes to the best adapted stock play. And the nominees are Broadcom, Palantir, Supermicro Computer.
And the winner is Supermicro Computer. That's SMCI is the stock ticker symbol. You know, this award was originally, we had set it aside as best sort of play that's riding the coattails of NVIDIA, which I'm sure we'll get to later. But you know, adapted, this was great call by Brad. Adapted stock play is perfect. Mirroring the adapted screenplay category at the Oscars. SMCI is arguably the hottest stock on the market, riding the AI trend, and really sort of as NVIDIA has taken off, so has Supermicro Computer. It is up year to date 300%. That's in just over 2 months.
On the heels of 246% returns last year.
They it's up 1,000% in the last year now. 1,000.
Yeah. They manufacture server components, lower volume stock. So it's benefiting disproportionately from that interest. The chart honestly scares me. I have seen a lot of stocks skyrocket and, like, you know, just blow off tops, fly off the handle. And it's more reminiscent of pump and dump stocks that I've seen than, like, fundamentally strong companies. I would be spooked buying that stock with what the chart looks like right now. But it has capitalized on AI in a way unlike any other company, including NVIDIA. As Chris said, up over 1,000% in, like, the last calendar year.
It's right. And astounding. We already mentioned Broadcom in the first category. Palantir, which we haven't really talked about, that's up 57% year to date. I mean, that's certainly nothing to sneeze at. It is up 221% in the last year. It's an AI play that, like, I guess the narrative took a while to get going. It didn't really fully get going until about a little over a month ago, when it gapped up from 16 to as high as, well, now it's at 26. So that might be a potentially more sustainable play, because its run is kind of just begun in the last month, or at least a large chunk of its run. I don't know what do you think about that, but Supermicro definitely gets the award for the last year. Palantir could be next year's winner.
Well, Palantir just secured a $175 million, I believe, contract from the U.S. military. It was also a popular meme stock. If you remember the 2021 meme stock frenzy, Palantir was sort of an also-ran back then. That's one where it was heavily shorted. There was a short squeeze element that propelled it. It's got some of that residual meme stock thing. We've seen that more often lately, where stocks that worked in 2021 are starting to resurface. And I think we'll talk about another one of those a little bit later today.
Yep.
But it also just had a big contract win. So I would agree with you, if you're going to roll the dice on something, on one of these best adapted, that Palantir probably has more upside than Supermicro. Although I wouldn't peg Supermicro as a $1,200 stock. So I'm wrong a lot, and I could easily be wrong here.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of this is going to, some of this conversation is definitely going to be fodder for a future hot sauce punishment episode, but that's way down the line. Okay. Madison, next category.
Next is best trend in no way related to AI. The nominees are crypto, sports betting, and weight loss drugs.
And the Streety goes to weight loss drugs. It's it's been the only thing that's broken through narratively. Yeah. I mean, like Bitcoin certainly has as well, but weight loss drugs have been very much on the tip of the tongue of Wall Street this year. Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk have both been major beneficiaries there. You're starting to see changes in employer healthcare coverage to accommodate some of these weight loss drugs. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think it's been more meaningful than some of the things, than something like crypto, which you don't actually see in your day-to-day life the way that you do with the weight loss drugs. And sports betting stocks have certainly been excellent performers, and you're seeing that market continue to evolve. But again, as far as the trend that you're going to run into in your day-to-day life, I think the weight loss drugs runs away with it.
Yeah, sports betting is only maybe just now, well, not just now being recognized by the market, but it's sort of took longer to develop than, I mean, this came out like a rocket, I mean, the last year, both those stocks, Novo Nordisk, up, let's see, 89% in the last year. Eli Lilly has more than doubled. And these are big companies, big pharmaceutical companies. These aren't just, with sports betting, you're taking a little bit of a flyer on, new companies like DraftKings or newish mm-hmm. companies. These had a base in place. So, their growth feels much more sustainable. Not to poo-poo sports betting as a trend. I mean, it was just legalized in Vermont here 2 months ago, and I may or may not be participating in it.
Have a second mortgage now.
That's here to say. Yeah, exactly. By the way, like and subscribe our podcast. and then crypto, we've talked about ad nauseum. It's a bull market product. I think, has no utility, not unlike weight loss drugs, obviously has no utility in the real world. Weight loss drugs are this is a revolutionary product.
And lights
potentially impacting other industries. I mean, there was fear. I don't know if in reality it's having a major impact, but there was a point when consumer staple stocks were taking it on the chin just because people were like, are people gonna, buy Pepsi or Coke anymore? Yep. Are people gonna go to McDonald's?
Yeah, Nestle had an earnings announcement where they promised some weight loss friendly new like snack foods and things like that. I hate to call anything revolutionary, but it certainly is for the people that are really benefiting from it. Right. And maybe as much as we get maybe cynical about some things here, this has saved people's lives. I think there's a case to be made that might be the best stock that we mentioned, like morally or ethically. It might be the most meaningful one that we discussed today.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let's move to the next category, Madison.
Next category is best international stock. And the nominees are Novo Nordisk, Pinduoduo.
You got it. You got
Shopify.
It.
Shopify.
And Shopify.
An award.
And this treaty goes to Novo Nordisk. We don't really need to rehash that too much. It is a Danish company. Is that right? Red.
Sounds right.
Yes.
Danish.
Yes. So it qualifies. Just to mention the other two, Pinduoduo. You know, we had Larry Chung. Was a really good analyst of the Chinese market. Come on here. What was that, like last fall, Brad?
Yeah.
And Pinduoduo was the company he pointed out as e-commerce company in China. That, you know, it's not as big as Alibaba, but it's earlier in its growth phase, and it runs its e-commerce platform is Temu, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the few Chinese stocks that's actually done well in the last, certainly in the last few months and in the last year. It's been pretty resilient. PDD is the ticker symbol, and that is up. You know, it's pulled back lately, but it's up 20% in the last year. That doesn't sound like much, but in a you know, Chinese stock market that's down in the last year.
Yeah, it was up 79% in 2023.
Even better. You
know, Novo Nordisk up 59.2% in 2023. So the more recent performance has certainly helped its cause here. Shopify, the other, it's Canadian e-commerce company that sells picks and shovels, up 124% in 2023. But yeah, I mean, I think we said everything that we need to say about Novo Nordisk and about the class of drugs that it's helping revolutionize.
The Shopify could have well won this award. Its returns are pretty much in line with, not even slightly better, than Novo Nordisk. But you know, we talked about just how revolutionary Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly's products are. So I think it's a good reason to award it here.
And there are plenty of tech plays out there too, right? If we're considering diversification at all, if everything is, it just goes to whatever the techiest company we can find for whatever category, then we're not diversifying.
Yeah, it's why we put it in a category. You know, we talk enough about AI, you hear enough in, you know, anything you read about investing right now about AI. It's why we put it in a category for best trend in no way related to AI. And weight loss drugs is the best one right now. So Novo Nordisk wins best international stock. Okay, so every award show has what are called technical awards. What are some of those awards usually, Brad?
Typically, at least in the Oscars, you'll see they'll make the announcements like, and the following technical awards were given out at a separate ceremony earlier today. And they'll
just announce
the winner.
Like hair and makeup? Things like that?
Yeah, and like, certain sound editing awards are in there. Yeah. I think video editing awards, lighting awards, things like that are in there. So things that are very important to the industry, but don't warrant inclusion in the increasingly bloated 4 hours Oscar broadcast. So we've got a handful of our own technical awards in which we'll simply be handing them out without really diving into competitors.
Yeah, the Oscars usually give short shrift to these because, you know, I think they just deem the technical awards too boring for air. So they just give them the minimum amount. Hopefully these aren't quite as boring, but we're just going to announce winners here. I can go ahead and start, Madison. So the award for best dressed. Now, of course, that's not an official Oscar award, but it is a pre Oscar award and post. It's why my wife and many other people tune in. Best dressed in this case, we're talking about a stock that may not look so great, may not be the best company, but boy, did they dress up well, dress up nice over the past year. And our winner is Robinhood, H-O-O-D. You remember Robinhood? Robinhood is the essentially the trading platform, online trading platform, that first introduced sort of the idea of free, of no fees. And it's aimed at younger investors, and it took off during the meme stock craze of early 2021. Well, then it crashed like the meme stocks themselves, but it's done well over the past year. Yeah, I think, Brad, you have returns for that.
I don't know if I do have returns for that, but I can
pull them up right here.
Okay. So while Chris pulls up some returns, part of the inclusion as Best Dressed is it does seem to be more of a bull market play, right? In the same way that we've talked about Bitcoin, where performance is very much dependent upon the enthusiasm of a bull market. They could have been attracting customer deposits for the 2-year bear market we just went through. They weren't. They started attracting customer deposits from retail investors. They started getting attention once those retail investors were trading more and more. They're starting to make more revenue now that crypto's hot again. So the momentum is certainly there, but the fundamentals may not be. And obviously, it's not a company that's been around for a long time. It doesn't have a super long track record. So maybe they turn into the next TD Ameritrade or E-Trade or Fidelity or Schwab. It's just a little bit too early to say. But right now, it feels like it's a bull market stock.
That's up 76% in the last year. And like half those gains have come the first 2 months of this year, 37%. So it's really taken off as the bull market has taken off in the last few months. Have you seen the movie Dumb Money that came out last year, Brad?
I have not. I keep
not an
meaning...
Oscar nominee, but I really liked it. It was, I think it's on Netflix now. It's like Paul Dano plays. What is the name of the guy who sort of launched the meme stock thing? I can't remember it now. But he had like some code name for himself. He did daily YouTube videos.
Something Kitty.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Kitty. Something Kitty. I don't know.
No, unfortunately, my internet is not responsive, but my video recording is still working, so I am unable to contribute to further research. And for that,
I can do that. But I highly recommend it, and it did not paint Robin Hood in a flattering light. The two guys, it's run by, I think, two brothers. I don't know their names, but they had them, in a meeting in the movie. The guys playing them were played sort of, guys on their phones, barely listening, kind of doofuses in a way. this is totally gonna work, but didn't have like a plan B, it seems. Like a lot of the meme stock investors, and that's hence the collapse. But it's been good in the last year, and we're going with Best Dressed because may not be the best stock, but they dressed up nice over the last year. Worst Dressed. Well, I'll let you do this one, Brad.
So this should really not come as any surprise to anybody that's read Stock of the Week or Chris's commentary on it. Worst Dressed this year, that's going to go to Tesla, specifically because of the behavior and the conduct of Elon Musk, who has taken an otherwise really impressive electric car company and made it his personal platform to do increasingly unhinged things, who has burned shareholders repeatedly with his commentary, and who is actively devaluing a lot of the sort of genius premium that Tesla gets for its association with somebody that's a forward thinker. So despite the performance of the underlying company, Tesla has a bad look. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. And it did in 2023, it actually did have a good year. I think it nearly or most, or I think it did double. That was off a tough 2022 where it's down like 50-60%. And it's had a really bad last few months. Now granted, it's not all Elon Musk. The last two quarters, their growth has stalled. As competition heats up, cheaper alternatives like BYD, which we mentioned here a lot, have surpassed it in China, at least. But a lot of what's keeping the stock, you can see the stock's trying to get going. It's $200 has acted as resistance a lot lately. It'll get there. And then Elon Musk will tweet out something, offensive or, like you said, unhinged, or you know, there's a lawsuit about his compensation, and the lawyers are demanding their compensation to be a percentage of Tesla stock, right?
Elon demanded voting control of like 25% of the company, I believe. The lawyers in question were asking for $6 billion in damages for defeating his $60 billion compensation package.
Right.
And, you know, looking back at the fundamentals a little bit, EV adoption has slowed. It's not declining, but the pace of increase is slowing down a little bit. And what you need in a time of a challenging business environment is a steady leader that's pulling all the right levers. And you don't really need the sideshow element.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember all the, he went after, so he's gone after so many other big company CEOs. I can't even remember all of them.
He told advertisers on X, formerly Twitter, to F off. He called out Disney, right? Like that's not a good look for a company that generates its revenue from advertising.
Yeah. So yeah, Tesla's still a perfectly good company despite the slowing growth. I think it'll do fine in the next 5-10 years, as long as he doesn't sink it somehow. But yeah, Tesla, worst dressed, and the dressing is pretty much everything Elon Musk does on Twitter. Madison, do you watch the Oscars for the red carpet before, like, you know, to see what people are wearing, or do you not care much about that?
I don't watch it, but I do. I obviously scroll through all the outfits, all the dresses, all the, you know, that's really all I care about.
Yeah. That's like my wife will go to her friend's house and they'll watch the red carpet and then like come home during the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be fun to make a big deal out of it, like to make it a whole night and have friends over and whatever else. Yeah. I'm not going to sit there and watch it by myself. If I have 4 hours to myself, I'm doing something else.
I think if you do like a big friend-based party thing, you need to get a red carpet and then get someplace where you can do like a step and repeat and have somebody taking pictures. I think like that's the thing you need.
Well, I would hire you as the event planner, Brad.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Sounds like a mistake. Okay. The last technical award. Best IPO, initial public offering. Winner, Birkenstock, BIRK. Although there may be a bit of a caveat to this. Brad, do you have the numbers handy or no?
I do, yeah. So Birkenstock rose 20% from its IPO date until the end of 2023. It beat out Arm Holdings, which is another tech play. They rose 8% last year, but Arm has trounced them this year as the momentum really got going in chips. You know, everybody's looking for some competitor to NVIDIA. Arm is they're a chipset competitor. They make a compelling case if you think NVIDIA is overheated, but you want some exposure to chips and you're looking elsewhere. Somebody like Arm does chip design as well. If I weren't looking, or if I weren't weighing 2023 performance as heavily as I am, I would certainly give it to Arm. But Birkenstock, say what you want about their sandals, they were the best performing IPO of 2023. So,
yeah, came public in mid October, pretty good timing. Perfect timing. Around the bottom, perfect timing. First trading day, it finished at around 36. It's now at about 48, up 31%. Not crazy, but pretty solid growth. And, you know, it is a physical product that a lot of people know. Birkenstocks. I don't think I've ever had Birkenstocks. Have you?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Do I look like I've ever had Birkenstocks?
Probably not.
I'm sorry. That's denigrating to anybody that actually likes Birkenstocks. And I don't mean that. I'm not a
Birkenstocks. I've literally never seen your legs because we work in two different states. But
you even have legs?
No, I don't
think he has legs. We can't confirm that.
No, Birkenstock is not my speed. I had steel-toed boots that were made by Caterpillar at one point, but I never had Birkenstocks.
Yeah. Okay, now we're going to pause. For a somber note, we're going to do the in memoriam. Let me turn off my light here.
I don't think we'll be able to tell with your background.
No, we won't, but I'm just doing it for ceremonial purposes. know, the Oscars always does the in memoriam to look back and remember some of the people lost over the past year. We're going to look back at some of the stocks we've lost in the last year. Brad, you have a list. You have the somber list in front of you, I think, right?
I do. And I wish I could play like In the Arms of an Angel right now, but yeah. I'm pretty sure that's Madison copyright. I just imagine that's playing in the background.
Right. Yeah.
Silicon Valley Bank. You brought Silicon Valley's tradition of moving fast and breaking things to the stodgy financial sector. Bird, your eponymous scooters, which were cast away on the streets of San Francisco and stepped over by angry pedestrians. You'll be missed by America's dentists and orthopedic surgeons. And finally, Rite Aid. When I needed cough medicine and couldn't find a Walgreens or CVS or a grocery store with a pharmacy, you were there. I assume. I've never been in a Rite Aid.
Never. Wow. That's touching. I wish I had a tissue to dab my eyes a bit.
Tissues.
You know, obviously we lost others, but not everybody gets an in memoriam segment. So we went with only the highest profile names.
You have to be famous enough. Yeah.
I missed it. Is Bird gone completely?
They're bankrupt. Did you ever rent a Bird scooter, Meds?
No, but I tripped over them when we lived downtown Nashville all the time. They were very annoying.
That's why they got rid of them. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, they were super exploitative too. Like they made their techs basically into rolling maintenance facilities and like overworked all those people. And then it turns out nobody wants to rent an electric scooter that you just pick up off the ground. Who would have ever figured that you just don't want random transportation on the street that you've never controlled and you don't know how well it operates? And the people that did use it took headers and lost teeth.
There was a girl, I worked at Starbucks a couple years ago, and there was a girl who came and her dad was placing her order for her. And I was like, everybody okay? Like, she okay? And he was like, her jaw is wired shut. And was like, what happened? And she said, or he said that she was riding a Bird scooter and it hit a curb or something. And her jaw, like she went jaw first into the ground and had to have surgery immediately and was wired shut for like 6 weeks or something.
Oh, that's brutal. And my condolences if you were ever injured on a Bird scooter. We're not making fun of you. We're making fun of a terrible concept and a bad company.
Yeah. Well, now it's a dead company or bankrupt company, at least. I had added one other stock to the list, but then before we went on air, I was told they're still alive. Peloton.
Yeah,
it's ironic because I ride a Peloton. I have a Peloton. I love it. Stock is down 66% in the last year. It's $4 stock now. It hit, you know, that was one of the red hot pandemic stocks that we referenced. Was it last week's episode or a couple weeks ago? Topped out at $162 at the end of 2020. And it's been just a death march since then. $4 right now.
Our producers told us we couldn't refer to it as a dead company since it's still technically a going concern and it's not in bankruptcy right now. So on a technicality, Peloton avoided the in memoriam.
Yeah, maybe next year. Okay, that's it for our in memoriam segment. Now let's get to the heavy hitters. Madison, what's the next category?
Next is the best dividend stocks, and the nominees are Eli Lilly, IBM, and WW Grainger.
And the Streety for best dividend stock goes to Eli Lilly. Should be really no surprise given everything we've said about the weight loss drugs. Performance for Eli Lilly's been phenomenal. It was up 59.3% last year. The dividend is maybe more nominal, 0.7%. But given the growth, it certainly outweighed that lighter dividend. WW Grainger, manufacturer of tools, machine parts, stuff like that, up 49% last year, 0.76% dividend yield. And that's a company that is more of a, you know, when I worked at Home Depot, we used to refer customers there for specialty goods. It's like a professional class Home Depot for their retail segment. And then, you know, IBM, it's Big Blue, and they're back. They've had some phenomenal performance lately. They were up 16% last year, but 3.4% dividend yield for a company that gives you exposure to tech is a really healthy dividend.
And 53% in the last year, you know, that's adding the last 2 months really boosted this. This where, you know, having sort of a moving target for the time period for when we're awarding these, you know, that it definitely has plenty of momentum now, you know, up from around $160 a share to start the year this year, and is now on the cusp of 200. So, yeah, Big Blue is back and pays a dividend still. And, you know, that might be, I mean, the weight loss is pretty unstoppable at the moment, or seemingly, but IBM is a really solid play with its growth and 3.4% dividend yield. And, you know, it's a known quantity that's come back to life. Unlike the in memoriam stocks we just mentioned. Okay. That's Eli Lilly, best dividend stock. What's next, Madison?
All right. The next Abradomy Awards category is the best to invest outside of the U.S. And the nominees are China, Japan, and Mexico.
And the Streety goes to Japan. Japan, it took, 40 years for it to get back to new all-time highs? I think the peak was late 80s. And it's been decades sort of just running in place. Well, they had a good year. New all-time highs. Mexico is on the list. Its market is up 20-25% in the last I think since the end of October. Solid. And you we've talked about it like a little, and when we had Carl Delfeld, who runs our Cabot Explorer advisory, he was bullish on Mexico because manufacturing costs there are so much lower than the US or China. So the premise is that, you know, companies will go to Mexico for, you know, we'll have operations in Mexico because things are just much cheaper. We haven't quite seen it in the market as much as, I guess in practice, it hasn't been quite as lived up to the theory. And Japan, all-time highs after 40 years, it's got to go to that. And then of course, China's on the list. China's been bad the last year or two. But, you know, I still like it as sort of a contrarian play, but this is an awards show for the past year.
Yeah, and China's the second largest economy, or third largest now. I think India usurped them, perhaps. I could be mistaken on that. But China is a heavy hitter and remains so, and will remain so for the foreseeable future. So it certainly warrants consideration, but this was Japan's year.
Yeah. Okay. Last two categories. Madison, what's next?
Best director. Nominees are Jensen NVIDIA, Mark Zuckerberg of Meta. You guys didn't tell me to say this one either.
Satya Nadella
of Microsoft.
Yeah, this should not come as a surprise. The Streety goes to Jensen Huang of NVIDIA. He has absolutely steered his company through like the hottest market for tech, for AI, for chips that we've ever seen. That, you know, it would be very easy for him to make a mistake or to lower expectations, or for him to miss guidance or make just the smallest misstep that could put a hiccup in the rally. But he has done a phenomenal job publicly of trying to navigate chip controls with China, of continuing to show that the company can support ongoing growth, and setting and then raising expectations going forward. You know, credit to Zuckerberg for his efforts in steering Meta through what has been a very much a rebound couple of years, but it's Jensen's award.
Yeah, I mean, hard to argue with what NVIDIA has done over the last year, and I think, was it so far this year, at least as of a week or so ago, we talked about this, that 30% of the gains in the market this year NVIDIA was responsible for. You know, it's we talked a lot about the Magnificent Seven last year. It's down to maybe, you know, sort of three so far this year. But NVIDIA, you could almost say it's NVIDIA's market, and we're just all living in it. And, you know, we mentioned companies that are riding NVIDIA's coattails, Supermicro Computer, Palantir, there's, you know, Broadcom, there's countless others. You know, yeah, Microsoft is driving things too, but not like NVIDIA.
Not only could you say that it's NVIDIA's market and we're all just living in it, but I think we titled the podcast that, so.
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah. so one could, and we did. I wanted to give a shout out to people running the show at shows at Netflix. I don't think Reed Hastings is the CEO anymore. I think he's a chairman of the board now. There's like two people running Netflix, but pretty big turnaround there too. Netflix seemingly it's always had its the top purchase, the top streaming company, but it was, you know, it was under siege with Apple, Amazon, Disney, NBC, Comcast with Peacock, Hulu, all launching streamers. And so Netflix, you know, dipped for a while, but they've come roaring back, I think mostly to Suits. Is that why?
I'm excited for Squid Game season two. Squid Game was my jam, and Stranger Things, of course. Now this is just prompted. You might not know. Does Netflix have anything that's up for Oscars consideration? Since we're doing an Oscars
This is I wrote about this recently. It has the most nominated movies. They have yet to win at least Best Picture, but they've got several of.
I can vamp
for a second. Let me look. Movie nominees.
The password sharing crackdown worked on our family. We were using our in-laws login, but we're paying for the ad supported now. Credit where it's due, that could have been just a really bad look. Obviously, in the context of every company is raising prices to combat inflation or to capitalize on inflation, everybody's sort of making those cuts. It can look very, really bad, but Netflix was one of the Magnificent Sevens. Their stock performance has been great. Seemingly, they're continuing to put out high-quality product. It certainly seems to have become the replacement for cable, in the sense that you can just turn it on and it's TV now.
Yeah.
Madison, do you remember before streaming video? Do you remember watching TV before that was a thing?
I do. And commercials and all that stuff.
I mean more the, you turn on the TV and then you just flip through until you find something.
Oh,
and if
yeah.
you don't find something, you either keep flipping or you just settle on something while you like look at TV Guide.
Yeah. A guide was the go-to. You turn it on and you immediately hit the guide. And then you just go through that and you repeat it a couple times just in case you missed something.
Yeah, that's what Netflix's loading screen is now. Chris.
Yeah. So they have Maestro, which is Bradley Cooper's movie about, or biopic about Leonard Bernstein, composer Leonard Bernstein, where he plays Leonard Bernstein. I've not seen this yet, but that's up for Best Picture, and he's up for Best Actor, Best Actress, for who's that? Carey Mulligan. Naiad has a couple of nominations. May December, which I did see, is a couple of nominations. And in the past, they've had others like let's see here, The Irishman was a Scorsese movie that was on Netflix. All Quiet on the Western Front. So they've had plenty. Haven't won, but they are sort of the, in terms of nominations, they're the leaders these days. So yes, fits well.
Love is Blind is not on there.
Love is Blind is a show, but I don't know if that's going to win any awards, but it's going to win viewers and constant conversation. My wife has made me watch that, and I have the answer. The Love is not blind. From what I've seen, I don't know. Maybe you have an opinion on that, Madison.
That's what Sam and I are going to write our Cabot Wealth Daily article on.
Okay.
That means us to write.
Yeah. We'll look for that. The Cabot Wealth
site. I'm excited. I I'll make some space in March for you.
Awesome.
So anyway, best director was, we got way off topic, but best director was Jensen Wang.
Wang.
For NVIDIA. Okay, final category. This is our best picture. Cabot is a growth stock, or is born as a growth stock company. That's sort of what the heart and soul of it is. So best growth stock is the final category. Nominees, Madison?
Amazon, Meta, and NVIDIA.
And the final
Bradamy Award goes to
Bradamy. The final Streety goes to, surprise, surprise, NVIDIA. It usually is the director of the best picture almost always wins. So it's like right back to back. Same thing here. This is NVIDIA's year, NVIDIA's market, NVIDIA's everything. That wins. I mean, anything else to add? It seemed like a foregone conclusion here. It's the Oppenheimer of our podcast here.
So that makes the Magnificent Seven stocks like the Barbenheimer of the markets, yeah, this year,
exactly.
Right? Like it's, I don't know. I think you could compellingly give it a case to almost any of the Mag Seven stocks with the exception of Tesla. They've all really excelled this year. They were driving the market, but leaders pull ahead, and that's what NVIDIA has been doing. It pared down the Magnificent Seven to the Magnificent Five and Lackluster Two to the Magnificent Three to like the AI Two. It's NVIDIA's market. It's only fitting that they should, like, I guess, sweep the major categories would be the appropriate way to say it.
Yeah.
And they're largely responsible for the bull market, they're responsible for a plurality of it, if not the majority of it.
Yeah. And you could say, you know, maybe Meta is the Barbie. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg seems like a Ken, you know, ignored by women his whole life and is taking his revenge ever since. It seems like the closest parallel there.
I've never been more worried about getting taken down for like legal actions in an episode of Street Check than this one.
They're not paying it. Hollywood's, you know, they're having their parties now. You know, I know they normally are watching us of our podcast, but this week,
not for the Oscar thing, for going after Zuck. Like, if Chris just doesn't show up at work for the next week, we'll know why.
Yeah,
well, love you, Zuck.
I can't say the same. Okay, that is the first ever. That wraps the first ever edition of the Streeties. Madison, how was this for you?
Awesome. Great. I feel like I have graduated from iHeart level, which is Brent Homie, what it was, to Oscar level.
I said barely iHeart level.
I'm sorry. Barely iHeart level.
Well, sorry, go ahead.
I could go do all the Oscar interviews now.
Sometimes yeah.
Up at the red carpet, you know?
Yeah, go to the what was the name of the Hollywood Foreign Press? Maybe that's a different award show. But thank you for the backgrounds and for reading off all our nominees. Again, if you're listening to this, I highly recommend watching on YouTube. We have on the Cabot Wealth Network videos section on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Thanks again, and we'll be back with a normal episode next week.